It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 14th day of January 2021. It's a Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us live on the interweb tubes. It's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. If you pop by right now, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Otto and Roger in Oregon and Squeaky and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, while he is a third stage guild navigator, has again chosen not to fold space today. So he's also accompanied and assisted by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. So everything is as it should be in that regard. Not so much as it should be getting the program started. I'm sorry I'm a couple of minutes late, but I was sitting here all ready to go, had everything lined up, and then all of a sudden, computer not work. So we had to force a restart, and, well, at least it came back, and I'm ever so happy about that. So there we go. Let's see here. Every program at the Horn begins with gratitude, and so this program is no different. No. And so thanks go out. Thanks go out to, let me get the little list up here. Thanks go out to Tracy. First past the post today. Tracy beat you to it, Jeremy. But Jeremy and Tracy, thank you. And thanks to our subscribers for the 14th day of the month. Thank you very kindly indeed to Paul and to Matt in San Francisco. Thank you both very kindly. Thank you to Ralphs as well. Thank you. And thanks as well to David for helping us get us a big start on today, and Andy as well. So, hey, all we've got to do is raise $200, and we're good for Thursday. And that means that the finish the week thing is 500. So $200 is not terrible at all for a Thursday, thanks to the advance help. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Let's see. Where to begin? Well, how about a couple of emails? Heard earlier before airtime from our buddy Matt in San Francisco, the Horn's den mother. And that's a damn fine question. Is anyone securing artifacts during 45's exit? Do we have reassurances that our national artifacts are being secured as the grifters pack up and get out? One of my bingo cards has investigation finds national artifacts removed during last week of Trump administration. I hadn't even thought about that, but you know what? These foot pads and cut purses, these highwaymen and these lick spittles and sycophants and pickpockets and it, right. They would steal these grifty maggots would steal the pennies off a dead man's eyes as he prepared to cross the River Styx. So, I wonder too. Now, you can almost see Nitwit Nero saying, "Hey,
can somebody like get that picture of Andrew Jackson and that Winston Churchill bust? No, they'll never miss those commies.
They're probably going to steal. They'll probably steal the cover plates off the damn light switches. But Matt also pointed out, hopefully my last fangirl moment over Pelosi. Did she really wear the same dress for the second impeachment that she did at the first one? I'm sending her flowers today. Oh, the shade of it all. And that, I hadn't thought about it, but I think it's true. And I know it's fashionable to cast aspersions at Nancy Pelosi, but I'm so over that. She has held her caucus together. They have done their jobs every time she has been speaker. This is twice that. Well, this is her third Congress as speaker. And somehow or another, we keep figuring out a way to be pissed off at her. The highest ranking Democratic leader in the country. And because really, you want to compare Nancy Pelosi to Tip O'Neill, maybe? You remember the tipster? Yeah, Tip O'Neill was Speaker of the House, and Choke Toad gets all tingly every time, and God knows so did Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews in particular got all tingly every time that he mentioned, got to thinking about how Tip O'Neill and Ronnie Reagan worked together in a bipartisan fashion to fuck people like me. And you? Yeah, I'd say Nancy's a hell of a lot better speaker than Tip O'Neill was. Nancy Pelosi hasn't tried to make me work till I'm freaking 70 to get Social Security. But Tip O'Neill, he rolled up his sleeves with the Gipper and the Tipper. And they took their jackets off, and they worked in a bipartisan fashion. So there's plenty. Look, being speaker is kind of a rotten job. It really, really is. But when you've got when you've got to have a speaker. You want to have one who's competent. And she is super duper hyper competent. How many bills did she and her caucus send over to die in a pool of blood and dust on Mitch McConnell's desk in the last Congress? And yet somehow or another, goddamn Nancy Pelosi, not pure enough. Fuck that. Yeah, it is her fourth Congress, I guess. I mean, this one, the previous one. And 2000, okay, yeah, I think James is right. Her fourth Congress as Speaker. And as far as I'm concerned, they can, they can tell her that she's going to have a building named after her at some point. I understand dumping on Chuck Schumer, because Chuck is sort of a doormat. But Nancy Pelosi, no. I mean, they've already. Passed a list of new rules for the new Congress that has the maggots hopping up and down. Yeah, we're having to be politically correct. Of course, then again, the maggots think that not being able to commit rape on the floor of the House is having to be politically correct. Why does Jim Shorts Jordan suddenly come to mind? I don't know. Yeah, it's true. Jeremy, echoing what Matt said, subject line, silverware. For God's sake, count the silverware. Check all the sets. I mean, if anyone would steal them, it would be these fucks. We know they're fairly new, after all. Hillary stole the original sets before she failed to do something in Benghazi. Wolverines! Yeah. So true. So true, Jeremy. Where'd it go? Oh, pardon me. I'm a little... I thought I had a full tank of gas going, but I don't have a full tank of gas going. No. So I'm changing the bottle even as we speak. Because it sucks when it gets cold back here. It's 67 right now. Had a lovely day today. But it will not stay that warm in here that long. I've got a nice little wool sweater going on, so that helps. But seem to get a little colder, a little easier these days. I wonder why that could possibly be. And let the pilot light go for a minute. Yeah. Megan asking, what makes you think he hasn't cleaned out anything of value during his entire term? Someone checking his online activity for eBay accounts? Only the books are safe at this point. Well, at least the books he didn't cook. Right. See what I did there? Spitting image, the British Puppeteers had a skit a few episodes back where Trump and Melanoma are leaving the White House and Trump's directing everybody to take everything that isn't bolted down. Funny, not funny. But I posted it on my wall. And there's going to continue to be a series of bizarre revelations even after these Penny Annie jumped up burrow billies are gone. The one that made Agnes hoot like a barn owl earlier was to find out that the federal government has been forced to spend over $100,000 renting a basement apartment next to Precious Princess Iwanka My Daddy Trump Kushner and Little Jared, because the six, the mansion in which those two live has six bathrooms, and Jared and Iwanka My Daddy Trump Kushner wouldn't let the Secret Service use any of them. So at $3,000 a month or more, we the people have had to rent a separate potty for their Secret Service detail. Jesus. These people. Did they think the Secret Service agents were trans and were trying to use the... Oh, Jesus. You know, because nothing gets people worked up about bathrooms like trans people. But no, we've spent money renting a toilet for the Secret Service detail because Jared and Iwanka are too special to let the people who are charged with taking bullets for them have a wee in one of the... Ah! I know. True. Matt in San Francisco pointing out, well, the help has never been able to use the bathroom. Probably absolutely true. No, maybe that's where they found the... Oh, God. But that's okay. We're getting close to a time when we are going to bid these shitty little grifters adieu, and then we can start getting better. Yeah. And I wanted to raise another issue with you. I mentioned that I would probably be touching on this for Thorn in the Side Thursday because it is a thorn, you know. Ow! If you go to headon.live and you click button at the top. It says Southern Transgender Alliance. There is a petition, a change.org petition, that addresses the state legislature of Alabama because of a new bill that's been introduced there. I think it's called HB 303. And for once, the good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians of the state government of Alabama aren't going after the potties. They're going straight after trans kids. You may recall a few Fridays back that I shared the story coming out of England about a horrible, 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 terrible, very bad, awful person who, because she had a bad experience, decided to impose her will on every other trans kid in England. And so now trans kids in England under 16 cannot get puberty blockers, which merely keep, you know, they don't, it's not it's not hormone replacement therapy. It is merely stopping puberty from doing what it does to the human body, male or female, in terms of assigned at birth. And it gives a kid, a trans kid, a chance to grow up in more of what they hope their body will sometime be and not have pubertal hormones wreck their bodies. And make their transition later harder than it has to be. That's England. Well, thanks to outfits like the Family Research Council, which, of course, is headed by Tony Norman. Yes, Mother Bates. Perkins, a Southern religion industry grifter who got his first mailing list by purchasing it from David Duke of the Klan. So it tells you a little bit about Tony's membership there. Well, they saw what happened in England, and they're all excited because they've found a new way to fuck with people who are already among the most fragile and marginalized in the country. Because, you know, these good Christians are so fine and so upstanding that they won't pick on anybody their own size, so they're going after a bunch of children. You know, children that they would love if they were fetuses. But now that they're grown and on the ground and trans, well, you know, fuck them or don't. So the state of Alabama has introduced this bill, HB 303, that forbids physicians, licensed, certified physicians, from prescribing puberty blockers for any Alabamian under the age of 18. Here's a hint. You get much past 18, and puberty blockers are kind of they're superfluous at that point because the wreckage has already taken place. And it is wreckage for a trans kid. The suicide numbers, the suicide attempts, the suicide ideation among that community of children is huge. And even in a state like Alabama, you can safely estimate that there are probably about 11,000 children that these Republicans are trying to fuck with just because they can or because they think Jesus wants them to. You know, the brown-skinned Palestinian day laborer and semi-literate rabbi who wore a dress every day of his life. But no. So they're going to, and you know what, this thing may pass like shit through a goose. So we do what we can while we have time to do it. And if you go to headon.live and you click where it says Southern Transgender Alliance, you can sign the change.org petition. And it would be, and please share it. Share it around to people of like mind. It would be lovely. You don't have to be in Alabama. Just let people know how disgusted you are. Call these puritanical hypocrites out for who and what they are. I mean, the sponsor of the bill in the news story about it, and if you scroll back through my Facebook page, you'll find it. The sponsor of the bill says, these children don't need drugs. They need psychology and counseling for their disorder. It's not even a disorder anymore. The latest edition of the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual has removed gender dysphoria and transness from a list of disorders or illnesses. So if you are inclined, and once again, I'm not the person to tell you what to do or anything. Hey, Robin, stop telling us to sign the petition. Stop telling us how to be disgusted by Republicans in Alabama. But it would be awfully nice, and I would consider it a real help. Terry and I and one other individual, the one individual got started on it. Terry worked on it some and passed it along to me, and I tweaked the language in it a little bit. And I was honored. It was my first chance to do anything that felt like activism for the community of which I'm now happily a part. And so if you are so inclined, go and sign it. And guess what? Not to be outdone, Mississippi is introducing their own screw the trans kid bill. Only in Mississippi, nobody can get puberty blockers till they're 21. You know, just like drinking. Really? 21. When puberty's fucking over. And if you're assigned male at birth, you know, the things have happened with your hands and your hair and the beards coming in and, oh, Jesus. And it's a horror that has to be dealt with later. Oy. I mean, the to-do list when one finally acknowledges all of this is horrifying. God almighty. And all that this does is take away some of the horror. You know, if a trans kid gets puberty blockers soon enough, well, little trans girls don't have voices that wind up sounding like this. And you know, it's great for what it is, but in terms of dysphoria, it's a mess. Okay, so yeah, if you're so inclined, please go and sign that petition. I'd appreciate it. Terry would appreciate it, and frankly, all those 11,000 little trans kids in Alabama would appreciate it. And you see, there's Cynthia in the Bay Area. Oh, God, Robin. I will wish to my dying day that I could have had those puberty blockers when I was young. That would have saved me a world of grief. I know you know. I do know. I so know. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of grief that just comes with being this age or older, you know, and part of this, you know, this is those religious maniacs, and they'll write the same damn bill for every benighted state and states. And pretty soon these stupid bills will proliferate across the country in maggot states, Republican states. Hell, it will probably spread faster than the new variant of the fucking Rona does. And everybody, and because the community is so marginalized, we have to have allies. We have to. Because there aren't enough of us to affect change, and that's why it's being done in the first place. Again, these good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual Christians don't ever want to have a fight on level ground. So, again, thank you. And, you know, maybe I'll get Terry on here and we'll actually talk about some geology. My God, she posted a picture of a hunk of copper that had just, you know, been dug up out of the ground out of the Keweenaw deposit in northern Michigan. And it set my mind to whirling. because I remembered and something went ping. And I thought about a trip that, Ferg and I took our first trip there. And then Agnes and Chris and I went there when we went down for the Molloy Mountain getaway in late November, early December, a few years back. And we went to the museum there, and there's this exquisite piece of art. And it's from hammered copper. You know, copper's soft, and you can take a hunk like what the picture that Terry posted, and you can beat it and form it into shapes. And it is of the Falcon Dancer. And that thing sits in the museum at Etowah Mounds in Carter County, Georgia. It was excavated there. It was probably manufactured, and just get when you want to just to think about the scope of the movement and the trade networks and everything of this continent before white people got here. It was mined, so to speak, in northern Michigan. The hunk of original copper was. It was manufactured in Cahokia, Illinois, on the banks of the Mississippi River. And from there, imagine it finding its way to the mountains of North Georgia. At that Mount Etowah Mound complex. Absolutely fascinating. So, being a geologist, Terry posts that kind of stuff all the time. It's just, you know, gorgeous hunks of minerals and crystals. And but yeah, maybe we'll talk about that sometime soon. Talking about thumping on Nancy Pelosi, Darlene points out, we almost lost her. And that would have been horrific and unfathomable. Knowing this, I didn't realize just how much she meant to me, as frustrated as I sometimes get with her. She's a brilliant strategist, a class act, stylish to the hilt, including right on down to her damn face masks, which just constantly blow my mind, and, well, tough as nails. While Nancy was waiting on the phone for Pence to pick up the next day after the insurrection, she told Leslie Stahl, whose journalistic abilities I've never been all that impressed with, that she was putting dishes in the dishwasher and throwing laundry in the washing machine. I doubt Chuck was doing that on the three-way. Of course, Pence stood her up. Typical. Well, you know, Mother wasn't there. Reminds me of a line in an old dark British comedy that epitomizes Nancy all the way. Get to the kitchen sink, you see, and prepare for government. Wrong accent. It's a comedy I've mentioned before that starred pre-Mr. Bean Rowan Atkinson and pre-House Hugh Laurie that I'm willing to bet Steve from New York would probably like, and that's an even darker than his beloved Vicar of Dibley. Yeah, I'd like to see that, too. Yeah. A little bit of breaking news, courtesy of Mark in Florida. Just now on CNN, FBI Director Christopher Wray and DHS Director were just there on CNN in brief with Pence, announcing increased chatter concerning armed protesters, Washington, D.C., and the inauguration period. That was at 5:20 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Yet, D.C.'s in a total lockdown. Airbnb has canceled every reservation in the greater D.C. Northern Virginia area. I don't know what's going on with the hotels, but there are, and the way they put it this morning, I always love watching the for-profit media try to handle something like this. This morning they said, there are more troops in Washington, D.C. than there are in Afghanistan and Iraq. Well, I guess people need some sort of point of reference. But how about there are more troops in Washington, D.C. right now than at any time since the Civil War? I mean, did it take 20,000 troops to break up the Bonus Army? I'm guessing no. But that's the reality of it. The chatter is real. The intent is real. And hey, how about that? West Virginia was among the states with the highest amount of parlor usage. And I'm going to keep calling it parlor because I understand that the French verb parler, P-A-R-L-E-R, means to speak, as in je parle français, or parlez-vous français? But the redneck quality of it, and knowing that we're talking about maggots, they probably meant it as a play on words. Parlor, as in to parl, as in, or you know, just like we have a front porch conversation and a back porch conversation. Well, they have their conversations in the parlor. See how it works? Billable Rick says Alec is behind the anti-trans bills. I see Alec's fingerprints behind the recent anti-trans bills proposed in Alabama and Mississippi. The timing is so not coincidental, but fully intended by these southern religious bigots. Well, everything I've heard says that, and, you know, I'm sure they wouldn't mind working together, but apparently the Family Research Council is driving them hard, you know, because they're headquartered in the Deep South. You know, Tony Norman, yes, Mother Bates Perkins, is from Louisianistan, so, you know, bear that in mind. Christopher says, bad laws spread like wildfire. You can bet your sweet lady ass, Robin, that Alec has, why, thank you for that, that Alec has their cookie cutter well poised for this Alabama statute. We have to find a way to do to Alec what they did to Acorn. It would be nice. But, again, I don't smell, that's Billable and Christopher thinking they smell some Alec, but, and it's possible they're in on it. You know, they do collude, you know, and conspiratate. But this has all the earmarks of religious, of you know, religious Taliban theocratic mania. Thank you to Cynthia for running out and signing a petition. Thank you very kindly. It'd be great if we could get a, you know, by sharing this around, get a few hundred more signatures on the petition. It'd be just wonderful. Thank you. Let's see. Oh, by the way, thanks among others to Don in British Columbia. Don is going on the "You get a mug, you get a mug, you get a horn mug" list. We're trying to do a few. We're trying to do a few boxes every night. But thanks for jumping in on the crowdfunding campaign. We are approaching, not there yet. We are approaching the halfway point, and my God, if we can just get it all the way done, and I can schedule this thing, it'll be great. I would like to do this before one of these little fuckers breaks off, and because that's going to be double plus nasty pain. But thank you, Don, and thanks to everybody who's jumped in. There will be thank yous going out from the campaign as well. Wow, kick them while they're down. Jeffrey's on it right from the get-go.
Yesterday, Robin, you made mention that the man wearing the horns or buffalo head was from Arizona. Joey was well aware that the little sun devil, see what Jeffrey did there? Yes, Joey was well aware that the man sporting the fur and horns is from Arizona, but he invoked Minnesota because the idiot looked like the Minnesota Vikings mascot. Hence the Minnesota Viking reference. Actually, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, think that the guy looks like a cross between Rick Springfield and Buffalo Bill, so I refer to him as, wait for it, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, refer to him as Buffalo Springfield.
Hey, what's that sound? That giraffe sure knows what's going down. No singing. Remember, we're only 200 bucks away from getting fundraising done for this evening. No singing. Unity, Joey asks. The Republicans want unity after literally they just tried to kill the leader of our pack, the one and only Nancy Pelosi. Make no mistake about it, I'm not a fan of all her politics, but the reality is the Democratic Party would be lost without her. Yes. And the party as we know it may have ceased to exist if it were not for Nancy Pelosi. As I said, Pelosi in Italian means hairy. And this woman has guided us through one of the hairiest periods of this nation's history, and we're fortunate to have her. She's shown her mettle and just been an unbelievable leader over the years, and especially this past week. Thank you, Nancy Pelosi. Once again, yesterday, the Republicans in the House had no substance, as all they could do was cry about how this impeachment was going to tear the country apart. Like Lizzo says, hey, Republicans, in your case, the truth hurts. because even in your attempts to steal the election with your voter suppression tactics, including destroying 600 mail sorters in key swing states, only having one drop box per county in highly populated areas, and endlessly attempting to purge minorities from the voting rolls, and guess what, assholes? You still lost the election! Donald Trump, Mitch McConnell, and the Republican Congress have done everything possible to divide this nation, not just for the past 4 years, but try for the last 40. And now, you hypocritical assholes, you know, you right-wingers who have your back-the-blue bullshit bumper stickers and yard signs, now you're demanding the Democrats heal the nation after your asshole avatar pulled off a coup and threatened the lives of hundreds of peace officers and killed at least one Capitol Hill police officer, not to mention terrorizing those in Congress on January 6th. I have two words for you. Fuck off. Oh, Iwanka is not attending the inauguration. Ooh, poor baby. As stupid as she is, maybe she's figured out that she just might be arrested right after the ceremony and taken into custody. Actually, she's too fucking dumb to figure that out by herself. Probably her baby daddy Donald had to tell her that one. And, well, Jeffrey's not going to let that go by. By the way, per last night's porch conversation, Donald is not on Pornhub, but Iwanka is. Hell, I'd be surprised if Iwanka didn't. I'm surprised she didn't have an OnlyFans page. Ugh. As it is quite apparent that Donald is down right now as reality is starting to... is down right now as reality is starting to set in for this piece of shit who thinks the laws of the land don't apply to him. Well, Donnie, the laws of the land do apply to you, and your orange ass will soon be fitted in an orange suit. Because you're probably not smart enough not to let your ego get in the way and resign so that you can be pardoned by Pence. Pence? Pence? Well, Jeffrey has a pensive moment. Advising,
you know, Mr. Vice, your vice has been Donald Trump, as you've just totally embarrassed yourself being his sycophant supplicant over the last 4 years. So let me give you some advice if you have any self-respect, dignity, and are worth a plug Pence. You'll tell Donald,
I beg your pardon, but you should try. You just tried to kill me, so I will not partake in your pardon.
Yes, in for a pence, in for a pound. I thank you, Mr. Pence. I think you, Mr. Pence, should pound Donald into the graham cracker that he is. Oh, Jeffrey really weighed in on that one. This is, remember, Agent Fred, this is a fictional, well, not, no, it's a real stuffed giraffe. But you get that, no, this is not a real person talking.
And for that matter, I am a meat popsicle. I remember in August 74 when Nixon was resigning, and I just sneered at the television because even as a 12-year-old, I understood the gravity of what Nixon's escalation of the war had meant and that he had committed crimes related to Watergate. My mother told me that it was not nice to kick a man when he's down. Well, sorry, Mom, Donnie's down, and I'm going to do all the kicking I can because of what he and his disgusting, cowardly Congress critters have done to the middle class and poor over the last 40 years. They've ruined this country! With Jeffrey reiterating, you ever seen a giraffe reiterate?
Yes, we need to kick the Republicans while they're down and kick them the hell out.
Robin thanked the 10 House Republicans who voted for impeachment yesterday, including my House Representative Anthony Gonzalez in Ohio's 16th. Sorry, Robin. I don't share your sentiment about these 10 because every damn one of them voted against the impeachment at the first time around. Yes, they did. However, I actually met Anthony Gonzalez in October of 2018 when, for whatever reason, there was a town hall in the tiny town of Rittman, Ohio. Sadly, there were just a few townspeople attending and probably more politicians than there were residents of Rittman. Gonzalez was very shy, and he was taken aback by my aggressive, no-nonsense approach. He was still in great shape from his football days at Ohio State and the NFL with the Colts. I told him how I'll never forget the leaping catch that he made against Michigan in 2005 to help Ohio State mount a comeback and beat Michigan. Then I looked him in the eye and told him that I hate Republicans, and then I told him why. I told him that I just sat there and listened to my Ohio State Senator, Christina Regner, tell me how she wants to cut taxes and regulations. I looked Gonzalez in the eye and said, that does not help me or much or even you. Anthony, even though you made a few million dollars playing in the NFL, I continued, you know who that helps? That helps your buddy and former quarterback Peyton Manning, who's probably worth a couple hundred million dollars. sure as hell does not help me and really does not help you that much either. We need tax cuts for the middle class and the poor and a hike on the wealthiest Americans. Peyton does not need a tax cut. You won't believe this, but Anthony Gonzalez actually agreed with me and very quietly admitted it. I did have to tell him that I really liked his ideas about bringing jobs back to America, and Gonzalez has criticized Trump openly recently for his poor trade policy. I've also met with Sherrod Brown 3 times in the last 15 years, with the first time being on the west side of Cleveland in 2006 when he won his first bid for U.S. Senate. And about a year ago, I met Tim Ryan right here at work, and I badgered him to run for Senate against Portman in 2022. Ryan tried to give a noncommittal answer, and I told him, "You're running for Senate in 2022. He then replied, "Okay, if you say so." Let's let Jeffrey finish up. Robin is a political talker, but my Joey is a political stalker. It does not bother Joey that people have never met their political representatives, but what really bothers them is they don't even know who they are. Truth in that. A lot of truth from a little giraffe. This has been Joey's Journal for Thorn in the Side Thursday, the 14th day of January, 2021, with Giraffrey already looking ahead to 2022. And so should you. So true. So true. Republicans don't take a day or a week or a month or a year off. Neither can we. Hell, they were working on 2022 before 2020 was over. Who doesn't Joey know? Asks Billable Rick. Cowbell for his political activism and fearlessness in confronting powerful elites. That's called civic engagement, and it's a good thing. We're not the ones running around like young Madison Cawthorn did in saying, lightly threaten them. I'll bet you young Master Cawthorn wouldn't like to be lightly threatened even a little bit. Thanks, Jeremy. Jeremy in Vermont signed the petition. You can bet I signed it as well, Robin. Thank you, Jeremy. Thank you so much. As for the issue of blockers, Scott in San Diego says, one hardly knows just how to refer to the religiously crazed trans blockers. They're equal non-opportunity bigots, since they want to block cocks, snatches, or any naughty bit between the navel and the knees of folks they hate. But I digress. I think he just made me say a word that I didn't want to say. Maybe a couple. But I digress. I intended simply to share a thought I've shared here before. Human suffering is neither noble nor inevitable. It exists because we permit it to happen. Quite often, religious, political, and business forces encourage suffering as it serves to help further their ends, interests, and purposes. These asshats are all about bringing suffering to people. And for God's sakes, even manatees. Fuckers. Oh, P.S., I'm sending this email using my new used MacBook Pro I was able to get with a portion of my $600 COVID bucks. I'm profoundly grateful. Well, good for you. Glad to know you got a new device. That's wonderful, Scott. And Kyle in Kentucky Stan says, yeah, because someone transitioning from male to female or vice versa is going to break up families everywhere. Well, hell, it's not just that, Kyle. Jesus, it's the volcanoes, the earthquakes, the tsunamis, the floods, the tornadoes, the hurricanes. Jesus Christ, these fucking bigots. Not only are they hateful pieces of shit, they don't even bother with half-decent arguments for their legislation targeting people not like them. I fucking hate all of them. I'm so tired of this shit. Yeah, there's that. Looks like several did. Elbert in Rhode Island pointing out, Mo Brooks, less brains, might have helped some rioters recon the Capitol before the riot. I saw it on CNN. Oh, there were several members of the maggot contingent in Congress who, even though the Capitol is closed for tours because, you know, pandemic, well, they were leading these constituents, some of whom had, a couple of thousand rounds of ammunition or semi-automatic weapons, just, you know, back at the hotel. And frankly, that is a level of activity that merits expulsion. And you got to understand, because we've been talking expulsion recently, it is a real rarity. And frankly, all of those maggots doubling down on their treason during the the Electoral College certification, can't touch one of them. You can't touch one of them because it's protected speech. And it kind of has to be. But when they do things outside of that, when they do things like violating the rules to help people who intend to storm the Capitol, well, then they become involved in a conspiracy. And that's outside of protected speech and debate. Just like Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, went toddling down to Georgia to try to fan the flames of this insurrectionist madness. So we probably won't see the Sedition 7 get bounced out of the Senate. I know we'd like to, but they certainly can be stripped of committee assignments. And if Mitch McConnell's truly horrified, I am simply horrified by the violence in the Capitol. That's actually pretty close to him in his voice, isn't it? Ugh, it's disgusting. I'll have to gargle later. If those are more than mere words, then the Sedition 7 should be stripped of every committee assignment and just let them sit there in their offices with nothing to do except go and vote when it's time to. That would be appropriate. And let's see here. Kyle noting, these Republicans tried to overthrow the government. How are they allowed to continue in government? I'll just kind of explain that, but I understand why you ask. And there's a recent picture of Nancy Pelosi and the National Guard defending the Capitol. Thank you, Darlene. She was they're all lined up and in formation, and she's addressing them. And it is a powerful image. And we're moving toward the weekend. We know that they have plans to start their shit this weekend in various state capitals, and they'll have no problem whatsoever in places like Talibama and Louisiana Stan and Mississippi Stan, Tennistan, Arkansas, Texas Stan, Oklahoma Stan. God knows, no problem in South Carolina Stan. Funny. All those states, I could swear they have something in common. Ah, well, I'll think of it later. But supposedly, come the 17th, the shit's going to hit the fan because who was it? Brother Deacon Asa who pointed out that Q is the 17th letter of the alphabet. Oh God, it hurts. But yeah, that's where they are. Looking back to me talking about other speakerships, Brother Deacon Asa said, "I don't know, Robin. I get plum teary eyed when I think about Paul the Count Ryan's tenure as House Speaker. What say you?" Oh, I think I got a little teary eyed too. If only it could have been shorter. Right. And so the stories that are flowing out of last week's madness continue to amaze. I mean, the videos that are out there, dear God, because they're coming out, but more and more of these videos are coming to light. Maggots chasing Capitol Police, screaming at them, "You're scared now!" God Almighty. Oh, and Kyle Rittenhouse. Remember young Kyle Rittenhouse? The poor, misunderstood, misguided soul who just happened to murder a couple of people in Kenosha and maimed one sufficiently to cause the individual to lose their arm. Yeah. Well, after he got out on bail, I'm not kidding, they took him to a bar. Now, this is an 18-year-old kid. And they took him to a bar in Wisconsin to celebrate his freedom. You know, getting out of the hoosegow and everything. He was wearing a T-shirt that said, free as fuck. And who was he meeting with at the bar? Proud Boys. You know, that kind of, for me, if I was his lawyer, I'd think, that's going to hurt my self-defense. It wasn't much of a defense in the first place, but this is going to make it less so. So they took pictures of young Kyle flashing the white power sign, being serenaded with the Proud Boys anthem. They've got an anthem? It all took place at Pudgy's Pub in Wisconsin. And you can't drink in Illinois, where he lives. But if you're 18 or if you're under 21 in Wisconsin and accompanied by your parents, you can. So Mother Rittenhouse had him there, and he was a drinking of the beer. And it's all on video. Security camera footage captured every last bit of it. He's on $2 million bond. You know, I'd say it'd be a fine and funny thing if the prosecutor would go in there, make a motion before the court, show the videos, and say, time to revoke the bond, Your Honor, and let that $2 million go into some court's general fund. So the Kenosha County District Attorney's Office, in fact, has filed a motion to restrict him from being able to possess or consume alcohol at a bar or a restaurant, from displaying the white power sign, and from fraternizing with known members of white supremacy groups. Because now he's got that white supremacist stench all over him. Not that he didn't in the first place. But Jesus, can you imagine? I'm not sorry. Can you imagine if that was some young black kid? Jesus Christ, they'd find a way to make sure that he went, no matter where on earth he was, they'd find a way to make sure that they stuffed him in Parchman Penitentiary in Mississippi or Angola in Louisiana. Trayvon Martin was cut down in his prime over an Arizona tea and a bag of Skittles. This kid gets taken for beers. But we live in a world where young men who commit mass murder in a church get taken to Burger King, so I guess going to Pudgy's Pub for beers with the Nazis, we shouldn't be surprised. But you'd think maybe the lawyer would have had a talk with Mother Rittenhouse and young Kyle. Guess not. Billable Rick asks, what's wrong with an 18-year-old in a bar with the Proud Boys? I used to drink underage and did so in Wisconsin while attending school at Northwestern. But I must say that I went into the Wisconsin bars with college buddies, not Nazis. Little Kyle's probably right at home hanging out with his older incel friends. Yeah, you get the idea. Kyle's probably will be an incel. And it wasn't just like he went in there, hi, gang, thanks for getting me out on bail. No, he was in there for an hour and a half. Jesus, I guess it's a miracle they didn't sing the Horst Wessel song. Ugh. Kyle says, Jesus fucking Christ, why is this fucker out on bond, and why is it necessary to put that in his bond? If this was a black guy hanging with the Black Panthers, they'd have shot him in the bar. I'm all worked now. I know. And there would have been scary stories all over Fox News, TV, radio, Rwanda, and Newsmuck, and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground. Scary young black man seen with other scary black men. Details at 11. Emery and Marvelline, take your medicine now. I know. Kyle's right. That's some next level shit, even for this racist country. Yeah, it is. But, and that's what perplexes me. Most every bond or bail that I've ever seen includes a statement that the recipient of said bail or bond shall remain law-abiding. Well, good old First Amendment, I guess, hanging out with Nazis and drinking in a bar is still law-abiding. It's a hoot, says Jeremy, and sends me a graphic. The four idiots of the apocalypse. Flat earthers, anti-vaxxers, 5G causes coronavirus, people who ignore social distancing and won't wear a mask. Hell rode with them. And Derp was at their side. Didn't you hear, asks Megan. Apparently, D.C. dating apps are going wild with conservaturds bragging about their attack on the Capitol. One enterprising young woman switched her preferences to conservative and was being matched with all the guys who were there, even going so far as to tell her their names and send her pictures. She's saving all the info and sending it directly to the FBI. Good for her. That's clever. Thanks, Megan. Jack in Shreveport wants to know, is there any way the court could charge the mother with something? Why isn't she responsible for a minor child? She got him the gun. She facilitated him drinking on probation. The kid was in possession of a weapon while on probation. Well, probably not, because, again, it took place in Wisconsin. And if you're with Mama, Mama can buy you a beer in Wisconsin if you're under 18. Mm-hmm. There's actually a historical precedent for that. Because back in our far more agricultural past, working through the hot days of a Wisconsin summer, bringing in the crops, well, the entire reason that we have a summer vacation in school is because of those long ago days when kids had to be out of school in order to help the family with the farm work. And so the thinking back in Wisconsin back then was, you know, if you can put in 12 hours bringing in the sheaves, you damn sure entitled to an ice cold foamy malted fermented beverage. I don't think they had young Kyle Rittenhouse in mind. Interesting. Darlene says, I'm perplexed. I actually got a $600 stimulus check, she says. Thought I wouldn't, but here's the kicker. It was a check in the mail, not a direct deposit. It's very difficult for me to travel to the bank until I get the van. The stimulus check last year was direct deposited, which was just so much easier for me. I did notice that in the lower left side, there was a Trump stamp on it. It looks like it was stamped on there and states, Economic Impact Payment, President Donald J. Trump. Does anybody know why it was a paper check and not direct deposit? Was it because they were trying to issue the payments faster due to the delays? I'd think direct deposit's faster. Or was it Trump's opportunity to get his name on there because Nancy made it pretty clear he wasn't going to be permitted to put his signature on anything this time? I'm perplexed. I'm hoping a family member can deposit the damn thing for me. Does your bank not have a remote deposit yet, Darlene? It really is handy. You get it in an app on your phone, you tie it to your account, and you take a picture of the front of the check, you turn it over, you endorse it, you write for mobile deposit only to whatever your institution is. You take a picture of that, use the app, boom, electronically deposited. You ought to check into it with your bank. They may have that, and you just maybe didn't know about it. Because it is very, very handy. You get the idea of what kind of a thorn in the side Thursday this is going to be, right? Because we're an hour into the program, you got $200 to raise to stay even with the week. And thanks for everybody for the miracle last night, and thanks to our buddy John Bridevo for his advocacy. Thank you so much. If we can do that $200, you know, 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 2, 2 at 1, 4 at 50, etc. John so enjoyed the ciphering, I just had to do it again. But it would be fantastic, because we wouldn't be looking at some scary miracle come tomorrow. But yeah, it's a thorny thorn in the side Thursday, without a doubt. And we're over a week now past the insurrection, or that part of the insurrection. I suspect the insurrection is still going on. But the information that continues to come out of the people who advocated for this, the people who pushed this, it ran broader and deeper than we dare suspect. And apparently the chatter has grown deafening to the, if they're at the point where on CNN they're showing Homeland Security and the director of the FBI talking about just how bad it is. Now, here's a little bit of paranoia for you. That screwball speech that Nitwit Nero gave a couple of days ago.
I deplore violence, blah, 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 blah.
What if they know exactly what's about to happen again? And that was some attempt to mount a preemptive defense to charges that he instigated it. Of course, the maggots all know that they've been communicated with in code for 4 years, so they know that when he says,
I deplore violence,
they know he means
more violence.
It's in the same vein as the very fine people horse shit. Jeremy in Vermont, stimulus, TurboTax fucked up somehow, and 1.8 million people got a late deposit or a check. Also, if you switched banks, it was another excuse for the problem. And Jack in Shreveport says, my check from last time came in the mail, but I haven't had a need to receive a federal refund, so I never gave them my routing info. Well, keep making that long walk to the mailbox, Jack. Hopefully it'll happen sooner rather than later. So an hour into the program, let's take a minute and check in with Brad and Desi and see what they've got going on, and jump back in for some more, some more madness. Go, you two, you crazy kids.
It's Thursday, January 14, 2021.
Rick Snyder and several other officials will have to answer for the scandal in court.
Ex-governor of Michigan criminally charged in Flint water crisis. Trump EPA's parting gift to polluters, severe restrictions on all future pollution regulations. U.S. emissions plummet.
Good.
Due to coronavirus.
Oh.
Plus, world's biggest battery farm now online in California.
All of those stories online and more straight ahead from bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Where's your snarky comment?
Well, I banned Donald Trump from the Green News Report, so I got nothing.
Sad.
I know.
This is your Green News Report.
Okay, Okay, Desi Doyen, it has been years and years and years, it seems, but maybe a little bit of accountability finally in Flint, Michigan?
Yes, former Michigan Governor Rick Snyder has been charged with two counts of willful neglect of duty for his role in the Flint water crisis. In 2014, an unelected manager appointed by Snyder ordered the city's water supply switched to the polluted Flint River to save money. The untreated water leached lead from pipes, poisoning the city's drinking water, and then state officials failed to act long after scientific evidence showed that residents in the predominantly black city were suffering from toxic lead poisoning, which causes health ailments and learning disabilities in children.
18 months later, before they acted on it.
The switch also caused an outbreak of Legionnaires' disease that killed 12 people. The new charges are a welcome step in accountability and recovery for Flint, according to Democratic Representative Dan Kildee in an interview with WXYZ in Detroit.
Justice for the people of Flint comes in lots of different forms. Making things right for the people of Flint is an important part of that, but a very important part is holding the people who did this to Flint responsible.
Snyder's lawyer called the charges meritless. If convicted, the Republican Snyder faces up to a year in jail and a $1,000 fine.
Yeah, a $1,000 fine. These are two misdemeanor charges. He'll never go to jail for a year. He probably won't even go to jail for a day. I think those lawyers ought to be thanking prosecutors at this point rather than complaining about it.
In Washington, the Trump Environmental Protection Agency launched a surprise attack on the incoming Biden administration's ability to tackle man-made climate change. Less than a week before President-elect Joe Biden takes office on Wednesday, as Trump was being impeached for the second time for inciting the attack on the U.S. Capitol, his EPA finalized a new climate rule that effectively prohibits all future limits on greenhouse gas emissions from any stationary industrial source other than power plants. The new rule sets a threshold designating any industry responsible for less than 3% of national emissions as exempt from all future emissions regulations permanently. It may sound small, but that threshold actually exempts prolific polluters like oil and gas production and refineries. The Biden administration and Congress can take actions to repeal the new rule, but it is just one of the many tangles and traps set by the Trump administration that will take time and focus to unravel.
But with Democrats in the majority in both the House and Senate, they can simply overturn it with the Congressional Review Act, right?
Right, but they have a lot of crises on their plate to deal with.
Yeah, they're going to be busy.
Trump EPA political appointees also interfered with scientific assessments of a specific type of forever chemicals in drinking water. PFAS chemicals used in firefighting foam, carpeting, and food packaging are linked to numerous ailments. Politico reports that appointees at EPA overruled the agency's career scientists to weaken a major health assessment for the toxic chemicals, which contaminate the drinking water of nearly a million Americans.
Can that be overturned as well with the Congressional Review Act?
No, that's a health assessment, which means the Biden EPA would have to go back and do the entire process of reassessing all over again.
Oh, you're right. They're going to have a lot of work ahead of them.
Good news, but for the worst possible reason, U.S. annual greenhouse gas emissions in 2020 fell by the greatest amount since World War II, 10%, according to a new estimate by the Rhodium Group. Global annual emissions also dropped more than 7% in 2020, but it's no cause for celebration because it's due to the coronavirus pandemic slamming the brakes on the global economy. The drop was temporary and emissions will climb again as the economy recovers, but it does conclusively demonstrate that structural changes to reduce fossil fuel use will succeed in delivering big emissions reductions. Finally, one of the big structural changes to reduce greenhouse gas emissions is now underway in the U.S. Just 5 years ago, a utility-sized battery project of 20 megawatts was considered big. Now a 300-megawatt project, the largest in the world, has gone online in California. And an even bigger battery storage project is slated to come online in Florida by the end of 2021. Just one of many. So there's that.
There's that. I'll take it. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Power to the people. Power to the people. Power.
was 6 minutes well spent. And like I said, finding out a little bit more about the hate that drove all of this. Well, let's check in with an asshole, because of course, John Guandolo. Now remember, John Guandolo is a disgraced former member of the FBI, and he's an Islamophobe. And of course, he's also, you know, a conspiracy theorist, you know, monkey jellyfish hybrids, et cetera, et cetera. No, that's Alex Jones. But he runs this sketchy outfit called Understanding the Threat. And he actually gets hired by law enforcement. In case you ever wondered why some law enforcement agencies behave the way they do, he actually goes around and teaches law enforcement agencies to be really scared of anybody with skin darker than wax paper. And beards are a sure sign that, oh, thank God I'm going to have mine electrocuted off. Beards are a sure sign of a potential terrorist. It's got to pose a little bit of a problem with the Proud Boys and whatnot. But John Guandolo, on the one hand, was proud of the treasonous insurrectionists and said so, you know, said so out loud. Why? Well, because they didn't kill any politicians.
From my perspective of where we are in this war, I'm amazed at the restraint patriots are still showing, especially after
war. He says this is a war. He's at war with us. Now, isn't there a passage in the Constitution about waging war against the United States of America? Because the government of the United States of America was in session in the Capitol when they began the war.
After an unarmed veteran of the Air Force of 14 years, a female, was shot in the face by a Capitol Police officer, non-uniformed Capitol Police officer. It's outrageous. I liken this to the Boston Massacre. This is the 2021 Boston Massacre. And I think in the history of what's happening right now, this is a turning point. This is a point when patriots realize the U.S. Senate, run by Republicans, has turned around to patriots and flipped them the bird again for the 50th time in a row. And they go on TV and stand in the well of the Senate and condemn patriots and tell us we're the problem.
Well, you know, that's because they are. Over here on our side of the on our side of the debate, we're not. We haven't attacked the Capitol. You know, we occasionally get a little frustrated when we realize how deadly it is that everybody still can't go to the doctor when they're sick. And, you know, gosh, we'd like it if people weren't starving to death during the pandemic or bodies weren't being left in houses like we heard about last night. But none of that has led us to take a gallows and a noose and set it up at the Capitol and try to capture the Speaker of the House and murder her. This fucker just declared war on the United States.
Not Mitch McConnell, not Kevin McCarthy, not Mike Pence. They don't see it. The arrogance and the hubris of our leaders is unbelievable. This is Venezuela. We are living in Venezuela right now. This is a banana republic, and the people either...
Okay, it's been a banana republic since January the 20th, 2017, but the banana tree is about to get chopped down, and the orange ape is going to have to go somewhere else.
Will or will not take back the republic. That's where we are.
Well, what happens, John? Where do we go?
Well, I think at this point, The leadership has demonstrated, with a very small group of people as an exception, that they have no intention of defending the will of the people, defending we the people, defending the republic.
You notice how we're not we the people? More of us voted for Joe Biden than voted for the orange degenerate ape. But somehow we don't count. The 90 million votes that Joe Biden got, we're not patriots. We're not the people. Because, well, you know, over here on our side, a bunch of us aren't sufficiently pale enough to be the people. And Jesus, I'm pale. Damn.
I don't see any other way out than a real armed counter-revolution to this hostile revolution that's being taken place, primarily driven by the communists. But
what communists? Where? Is he talking the Chinese? Hell, the Cubans are only nominally communist now. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff that the treason clause of the Constitution is meant to address. He says that this is a war. It's not a war of words. It's not a war of ideas. It's a shooting war. And he just said that the only answer is for people to start killing other people. This is not the purpose of the First Amendment to the Constitution.
With the willful agents. I've talked about this on your show numerous times. The jihadis, the globalists, the communists would not be able to do anything if for the last 20 years the Republicans hadn't handed it to them over and over again. The last 4 years, a Republican Senate has opposed the president, has opposed the will of the people, and has opposed liberty. And we, some people, not me, not understand the threat, have said these Georgia Senate elections were the key to everything. That's garbage. Who gives a damn if two more Republicans are in the Senate or not? They haven't done a thing in 4 years, much less 20 years, to defend the will of the people. And this is where we are. So I don't know what the future holds, but it's going to be ugly to turn this around. And it is going to get much, much more ugly. And the fact that we conservatives, I'm getting emails and texts from conservatives telling me how appalled they are at what happened at the Capitol yesterday. Screw you. Screw you if you say that. Because what happened at the Capitol yesterday was incredibly restrained from my perspective. I was there.
Well, were you in there? Because we're seeing the videos, John Guandolo, and restrained is not a word you get to use to describe that rampage of bloody-minded idiots.
I watched it. I was in and amongst it. It is amazing to me that patriots haven't strung up these traitors already with the amount of evidence on the table of what they're doing. Mitch.
So he's effectively saying that that should yet happen? He wants the hangings? I mean, how much more closely akin to yelling fire in a crowded theater do you have to get before we deal with this kind of filth?
McConnell is an agent of the Chinese government and has been for years, and we're just sitting and taking it. And then he dares to stand in the Senate and lecture us about liberty and the Constitution.
Yeah, I don't care to be lectured by Mitch McConnell either. But the fact of the matter is, there is some truth to what McConnell said, to the extent that he said that what went down was wrong. But he wasn't done. Now, that was January the 7th, that clip. Okay? Well, now, just a couple of days ago, he doubled down. And people, you know, how is it that people are eager to book this? I can't watch all of this happen without asking the eternal question, cui bono? Who benefits? To whom the good? For whom the good? Is John Guandolo making a buck off of this? Or is there a buck to be made in some sleazy book that'll wind up remaindered into the dusty shelves of Dollar Tree because some right-wing pack will spend money to buy it in bulk? Make no mistake, things like where things like this are concerned, there are no coincidences. And so here he is again. And now he's not so sure that it was such a good thing not to murder people on a week ago Wednesday. Shit's getting real.
They weren't trying to hurt anyone, and they are angry because their country is being surrendered to hostile forces. And they see it, they know it, they understand.
Name one! Name the hostile force! I mean, we've had 4 years of COVID Caligula playing footsie with huggable, lovable, snuggleable, cuddleable Vlad Putin. But we're being surrendered to hostile forces. Now, for years, you know, when we have stories about idiots with guns, you know, there's the Wolverines! And that stupid movie, Red Dawn, was about an invasion of the United States by the commies. But it was never anything more than a paranoid fantasy action flick to provide masturbation fodder for the people who thought Ronald Reagan was a great president. There's no threat. There's no surrendering. These people are lost in the dim recesses of their spider-infested brains. They weren't trying to hurt anyone? Then why did they set up a gallows? Why did they bring guns? You don't bring guns because you're not trying to hurt somebody. Even if you carry a firearm for personal defense, you're carrying it because you anticipate hurting someone if provided the provocation. You're not going to pull it out and explain to them the finer points of the feed design of John Browning versus the wheel gun. You only carry guns. The number of weapons from a week ago Wednesday. A crossbow? Really? Really? Molotov cocktails. Yeah, nothing says defending freedom like bringing Molotov cocktails. Pipe bombs? Anybody? Bueller? On and on and on it goes. They had a goddamned arsenal. It's amazing. Only it kind of, I guess, isn't. Great God in heaven, a crossbow. Wolverines! See?
Understand it. Our election was stolen, and they are as angry at the Republican Party as they are at anybody else. Because remember, it's the Republicans. It's Mike Pence, Mitch McConnell, Kevin McCarthy that went on the radio last night and condemned President Trump and his supporters. And to them, I say, screw you. They are the enemies of the Republic. And I'll tell you, it's amazing to me that the reality of what came to their front door didn't register at all to them. And I don't believe anything after watching what happened yesterday and watching the response. They are so arrogant. They are so condescending. Nothing is going to snap them into reality except for patriots taking back control of their government. And people like that swinging from a rope, because these are traitors to the country.
Yeah. God damn. Patriots and people like that swinging from a rope. Well, among other things, the federal government announced that a man from, of course, Talibama, parked a pickup truck near the Capitol with 11 homemade bombs, an assault rifle, and a handgun. He was two blocks from the Capitol, and no one noticed. Then there's the guy with the assault rifle and hundreds of rounds of ammunition. And it goes on and on and on. I mean, Jesus Christ. How do you can't make the argument that these were peaceful protesters. No. Not now. Peaceful protesters don't bring 2,500 rounds of ammunition. But really and for truly, from NBC News, Georgia plates, Ford Econoline van 150, red MAGA hat on the dashboard. And when cops walk up to the guy, he says, "I'm one of these." And he points to his maggot hat. Grant Moore of Buford, Georgia, said he was supporting the Chinese who were currently protesting around the city. And, yeah, 6-round mag, semi-automatic handgun, 3 other mags in the bag, 12 loose rounds in one of the van's front compartments. 11 Molotov cocktails, yeah, and the crossbow, brass knuckles, pocket knives, stun guns, stinger whips, 12 guns total, thousands of rounds of ammunition. And Lonnie Kaufman of Talibama had a massive arsenal, 5 guns, hundreds of rounds of ammo. A former agent from the ATF named Mark Jones said the cops weren't searching people. I'd speculate that there were many, many more firearms than there were that were not uncovered. Charlie Snell and Timothy Wolfe drove up together from Chesapeake, Virginia. They said they were going to be part of history. Dumbass Charlie turned into a he thought it was a public parking garage on 12th Street. Security guard stopped him, asked if they had any weapons, and he had a handgun in his backpack. He said, "Yeah, I got a gun on the floorboard, and I got arrested." You can't tote pistols around in Washington, D.C. without a license. Yeah. Of course, he's worried now, Charlie is. He said, "Hey, it's my fault. I didn't research it before I come, or I wouldn't have brought fingernail clippers on the key ring. Heck no. I'm doing security." He's a security guard. Get that. A maggot security guard. "If I get some kind of conviction, I might end up losing my license." Well, poor baby. A crossbow. Brass knuckles. Then there's David Blair, age 26, who was trying to beat up police with a lacrosse stick. And yet he's pleaded not guilty to assault on a police officer. And when he, and when Mr. Moore there, security guard, or no, no, not the security guard. When Moore was arrested, he said, for carrying an unlicensed gun, he said, I don't have intent. Shh. Doesn't matter. It sincerely doesn't matter. But they mean yet to do harm. And people like John Guandolo, are eager as hell to see it happen. And then there's Deanna Lorraine. She's a cucumber. Like I said, I hate to steal from Malloy, but that's just the that's the best term I've heard to come up with yet. Deanna Lorraine is another one of those people who's proud of the insurrectionists, the people who tried to overthrow the elected government of We the People. Yeah. Because, of course, she is. Right. No shame.
It is time that we up-level. It's time that we level up our show of force. And for those wussies that are sitting at home right now, that are watching their Fox News and CNN and watching their social media, and you pretend like you're a conservative, you pretend like you're Republican, and you're pretending like you're fighting the commies, and for you to sit there and buy into this MSM narrative, hook, line, and sinker, that we are national terrorists, domestic terrorists, that we are violent, that we were so inappropriate and so embarrassing to you guys, and you are disgusted by our display, you are never a real patriot. You should be ashamed of yourself. How dare you throw these patriots that have been there all day yesterday and fighting the real commies, we're the ones at war fighting for you guys. How dare you say that you're
Okay, help me here. The commie thing is, I mean, yeah, they've blathered it. Here and there, but the, for some reason or another, they've really ramped up the commie rhetoric with the, maybe it's because they think that somehow it'll generate support. I don't know. And it, yeah, Darlene had a question about the cucumbers reference. Darlene spelled capital Q dash C U M B E R S. It refers to anybody who's a QAnon goonie.
Ashamed of us. What kind of a patriot are you? You're no patriot if you're so quick to throw your fellow patriots under the bus for actually going to war and doing the dirty work that you won't do because you're sitting at home comfortable on your couch.
And there it is again, going to war. These stupid fuckers think that putting on your buffalo hat and painting your face red, white, and blue, and carrying a spear. That was another one of the things. A spear. Yeah, cucumber shaman was carrying a spear. Yeah, they're going to war. And by the way, if you're on the same side as a guy who's running around with a T-shirt that says Camp Auschwitz, I don't want to be on your side. Because that means you're pretty much a Nazi. No, you just are a Nazi. That guy's been arrested. God, there's so many more.
Reading the MSM and buying into their narrative, and you're disgusted by us. We're disgusted by you. What we saw yesterday was the most epic form of resistance that we have seen in some time. This was The spirit of 1776 emanating from all of us, every fiber of our beings. It was this true spirit of resistance, not these people that go to these ridiculous rallies over and over every weekend, honking their horns, warning, waving their American flags. I mean, that's great, but you pretend that you're fighting the commies, that you pretend you're 1776. But you are not 1776 if you're not willing to put yourself at risk and do what we did yesterday. You're just all talk and no walk. This had to be done. This had to be done. We had to level up our level of resistance.
Notice the language, level up. We had to level up. She's describing it like it's a video game. Five people died. A member of the Capitol Police was bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher by one of those patriots. And because we're going about the business of quietly arresting these stupid fucks, instead of making kind of a production out of it, they're further emboldened, and now they really want to start shooting. I can't take much more of that damned fool. Yeah, I know. Me too. Matt says I'm confused. So we're communists because we want to give people health care, provide them with $2,000 to get through the pandemic, provide them with a vaccine. I'm really trying to understand what they're resisting. Oh, I know. It boggles the mind. But then again, I think we have to sort of comprehend, if it's possible, that everybody who isn't them is a commie. It's kind of like over on the purity left. Everybody who, you know, doesn't march lockstep gets branded as a neoliberal establishment shill. When for all too many of those people, neoliberal is just a word that means I got a mocha latte instead of a caramel macchiato. Commies are everybody who aren't them. And America don't need no health care. Q done said so. Commie usage, Jack in Shreveport says, they're using that word because they're linking it with China and Biden and the Republican senators or whoever it was they said were commies. If communist China to them, it's communist China to them, whether it's true or not. And of course it isn't. As Billable Rick points out, these MAGA jackasses wouldn't be able to recognize a commie if Zombie Mao himself walked up and handed them his little red book. It's true. And it's also a jingle. Jeremy points out they arrested the creature they caught on camera running the devil's diaper through the Capitol, he and his son. He claimed he flew it at his Delaware home regularly. He was busted because he bragged about it at work and someone turned him in. Good. Good. And Arthur points out simply, these folks are horrible people. They complain that everybody else is one of the pod people and they don't realize some of them, many probably do, they're the pod people, and the pod spore dust is 40 years of right-wing radio. How true. How true. And you're no patriots. You throw your fellow patriots under the bus. Now, I'm only a mere education member with a major with a concentration in social studies. Here's my question, sister. Which is it you're referring to? That's our buddy Dave in the blind. The confusion apparently has become contagious. Steve in New York says, I'm confused, too. I thought the commie snowflakes were the ones who ate the organic food. Right? And Randy asking, agents provocateurs for the extreme right? If means, motives, and opportunities are components in crimes, it would seem that these agents provocateurs are providing plenty of semi-entrapment opportunities. Well, you can't really be an agent provocateur. I mean, okay, early on, Mo Brooks, Les Brames was saying that it was really the Black Lives Matter in whiteface and Antifa's. You know, that group that's opposed to dental work, Antifas. So you'd had, I'm sorry, I just can't see a member of Antifa going out and wasting the money to buy a crossbow. And it, but yeah, I know it. I know what you mean, Randy. I do. Lou wants me to address Trump's health care program point by point. Maybe that's a front porch thing. We'll see how the remainder of the program goes. So, God almighty. And it goes on, you know, a lot like that. And yeah, there's the maggot with the Confederate flag from Delaware, a Union state, or was Delaware no Maryland, Kentucky, Missouri, was Delaware a neutral state anyway? Kevin Seafried is the Confederate's name. The FBI had received more than 126,000 photographic and video tips as of earlier this week. And the FBI is examining airline passenger manifests to and from Washington. And the top federal prosecutor in Washington has said he expects the arrests to rise into the hundreds. That ain't enough. Representative Benny Thompson, a Democrat from Michigan, is the chair of the House Homeland Security Committee. He said it's hard for Donald Trump and his kind to pretend that they don't see race or that they're not racist when the symbol of the people you've invited here is the Confederate battle flag or the Trump 2020 flag. For a lot of us, Representative Thompson noted, those two flags are synonymous. Yeah, they are. Oh, and one more Twitter account's been locked. Gun-toting Lauren Boebert had her Twitter account briefly locked and then unlocked.
Twitter randomly shut my account down with no explanation. They do this to thousands of conservatives every single day. When the press reported the ban, it was lifted. What about the thousands of Americans who have been banned and are never heard from again?
Oh, those are, Lauren, we know you're an idiot, but those are called bots, honey. Mm-hmm. And she was locked because of what she did in trying to help the murderous mob try to catch Nancy Pelosi. Is that also protected under the speech and debate clause? Well, apparently Eric Swalwell thinks it isn't. He tweeted, like any citizen who has committed a crime, Lauren Boebert has the right to remain silent. I suggest she use it. Yeah, there's a T-shirt referred to in Richard K. Morgan's brilliant Altered Carbon at the beginning of this century, in which the cop wears a T-shirt that says, "You have the right to remain silent. You should try it sometime." Okay. I thought maybe you'd seen something I hadn't. Lou said, that was sarcasm. To my knowledge, despite his frequent promises that we'd have it soon, he never produced a plan that was better and cheaper than a couple. But no, it wasn't. That's why I was perplexed, because I had not seen anything. Like, there's a plan? Suddenly there's a plan? There's never been a plan. They don't do plans. Okay, all better now. All better now, Lou. Thank you for that. Sometimes a smiley face or something helps. all gets so confusing sometimes. Oh, well, here we go. You know, it's Thorn in the Side Thursday. Devin just pointed out. T-I-T-S Thursday is all the more fitting now, Robin. I guess we're going to have this for a while. Okay, good. Little jingle. Oh, okay. Randy points out is the agent provocateur comment. I meant these provocateurs on the media expounding extreme right views who would normally be subject to arrest for making threats but may not be because they're working for sane law enforcement, maybe undermining the current extreme right movement. There may be some of those, but I don't think John Guandolo is one of them. And certainly Deanna Lorraine isn't. The best undercover cop in the country couldn't maintain that cover of crazy. Yeah, see, Darlene's there too. Oh my God, oh my God, these jackholes keep screaming about communism. Meanwhile, their beloved dear leader, Donald J. Trump, who tramp-stamped my economic relief check, is taking up the ass from Vladimir Putin, a former KGB officer. Sorry, John Bridevaux, but are you shitting me? I know. You could... If he marched out carrying the hammer and sickle, the maggots would swear that he was leading a crusade against communism. I missed that one. Jeremy in Vermont says, the Beckerhead said this week that big media banning Trump is just like the Nazis putting walls around the Jews. Yes, Twitter blocking someone is one step from a gas chamber, a bullet, and then an oven. They really do have problems with perspective, don't they? But that's because they're delicate snowflakes. Everything hurts them as much as any awful thing that has ever happened. No. Brother Deacon Asa, hold the fuck on for a minute there, Kincaid. Did Mo Brooks, Les Brains, really say it was BLM and Antifa in whiteface? I only mentioned it last Wednesday with my tongue firmly planted in my cheek. I'm glad Mo Brooks is a horn listener, but the some bitch is too stupid to tell the jokes apart from the serious stuff. Oh, it was while it was going on a week ago last Wednesday that he said, getting reports this is Antifa. Really? Man, it's Morans all the way down. I added the in whiteface part because I made a reference to white shoe polish. But yeah. Withhold judgment, maybe Antifa. It's in his tweet stream. It really is. So let's pop over and I presume that he's communicating to us through his new to him MacBook Pro. Scott, what's up?
Hey, Robin. No, I'm on the old iPhone.
Oh, okay.
My old MacBook Air that I've had for about like 5 or 6 years, and it was used when I got it, gave up the ghost a couple of weeks ago. I mean, just up and fucking died on me.
Up and died. And, you know, and that's up that, and that's worse than just dying. It up and died.
Yeah, and it may be fixable. But I figured I've got $600, you know, burning a hole in my pocket. And I shopped around and I found what I was looking for. And there it sits right across from me as we speak.
Hot diggity damn.
Hot diggity damn. I've got a couple of things I want to talk about, especially about a project, maybe a weekend project for you and yours. But first, I must needs. Tell you that Trump did, in fact, have a health care plan. I've seen it. I opened a fortune cookie and pulled out that little piece of paper, and there it was, and on the back, or at the bottom of it, was the preamble to the Constitution, the Lord's Prayer, and half of the Pledge of Allegiance before they ran out of room. And that
was it from paper, was it from Chick Publications?
Oh God, don't get me started on Jack Chick. My goodness, up there in heaven or somewhere, you know, because he passed on a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
He went to that big artist's drawing.
He went to that big urinal ledge in the sky.
Yeah. And speaking of urinal ledges, that brings me to my next topic.
Because that's where you always find your Chick Publications tract. It's you're standing there. At least I used to. And son of a gun, there's a little reading material. But you know, I don't think at Chick Publications they understood that you really can't let go in order to read their little tract. I mean,
not really. The more creative and adventurous Chick distributors would tuck it between the pages near the foldout of your Playboy or your Penthouse or your Hustler. I got crazy fucking people.
Not a big swank reader, were you?
I used to yank to swank, Bob. Come on, Robin. But anyway, that's not why I called. Don't get me started, because you know I can do it. This John Guandolo, is that his name? And Little Miss Cuke of 1987. I'm telling you, man, or lady.
That's okay. Man's universal.
His job in prison, once he goes there, he'd have to take a test to see if he can actually accomplish it. But I wouldn't trust him, you know, to swap out urinal pucks at the men's correctional institution in his state. Because you got to have a little finesse and brains and decorating savvy to do something like that. And as for Miss Cuke, I would like you, here's the project. I would like you over the weekend, and you can take your kinfolk along if you want, get into your vehicle and drive around the neighborhood and see if you can find the stately home of Dr. Emmett Brown. He's in a white lab coat and he has frizzy hair. And see if you can find his house, and it'll be the one that has the DeLorean up on blocks.
Yes.
Okay, in the front yard. And I want you to urge Dr. Emmett Brown to bring that thing into workability. And then I want you to find Mr. Guandolo, or whatever his name is, and Miss Cuke. And I want you to set the dials on
the DeLorean. She's such a cutie pie.
Cutie, come here.
You just let that one. She's a cutie pie. I mean, come on. tough crowd.
Pile them into the back seat of the DeLorean. Set the dials and the destination to Independence Hall in 1770, whatever it was. And I want you to march them into the hall there and let them explain themselves, do a Q&A with, not Q like QAnon, but do a Q&A with our founding fathers and whoever, and the mothers out in the yard fixing lunch, and see how long they can stand up to the disdain and nasty looks that they would get from the people who wrote these fucking laws and created this goddamn country, those many years ago. They would be laughed out of the fucking room. You know, these puffy-shirted patriots, so-called, wearing their tri-corner hats, waving their fucking flintlocks in the air, just burn my white ass. That's why I called, actually. When you were going on about that fool, I said, I have got to call and vent my spleen, because I am just sick to death of these fuckers. Just sick to fucking death. And I am so glad that there is law enforcement in this country. I would like to, you know, I'll get rich doing this, Bob or Robin, and send big coin to the horn if I can do it. I want to have the ink cartridge concession at all of the offices where indictments are printed on the laser printers. I will be a rich fool because they're bringing in new printers to print the indictments and the charging documents and the evidence, sheaves of evidence. Give me the fucking toner concession at all of these prosecutors' offices around D.C. and elsewhere, because I would make a mint just on the fucking toner that's going to be used to prosecute these fuckers. I'm sorry. I usually this early in the call don't go off the twig like this, but I am damn mad. I am just damned. I'm still mad from a week ago yesterday.
Yeah, I think most of us are.
I've seen a lot of strange fucking things in my years on the planet. And some outrageous things besides. But as for last Wednesday, I hope to God that I never see the like of it or anything even remotely resembling it again. It's a slap in the face to every decent person in this country. And egged on by that soon to depart, but not soon enough for me, moron in the executive mansion, and egged on by his nitwits in the House and Senate, and egged on by these crazy bastards that pollute our airwaves and our bits and bytes streaming online. I'm for freedom of speech. I'm for freedom of thought. I'm for being a good citizen and a good person and decency. But these fuckers are beyond the pale. There's something medically wrong. I know this is no newsflash, and I'm no shrink, but there is something going on with these people that bears looking into.
And so I come back to the argument that I've been making since this happened, and people are probably getting sick of hearing me say it, but sometimes you have to engage in a bit of repetition in order to get an idea to begin to get some traction. And that is that this job is too much for the day-to-day workings of the Department of Justice. Now, right now, they're doing their best, and there's more coming. Like you said, whoever gets the ink and toner concession is going to do real well. But it means that because the capacity inside something like the DOJ really is finite. And I've spent a lot of time being taught and trained about capacity in the course of my activism work. And you can't just make capacity where capacity doesn't exist. And the most surefire way to make sure that whatever good it is that your organization is doing doesn't continue is to keep trying to expand capacity without expanding personnel.
Yeah.
So it really is kind of a zero-sum game. It means that shit that badly needs to be addressed will not be addressed because there's only so many hours a day and there's only so many hours that every individual has to give. You cannot work somebody 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, just without respite. So I'm absolutely convinced that there needs to be a special counsel. That special counsel needs to hire in top shelf legal talent and have access to some law enforcement for investigatory purposes. And you chase down every last one of these rotten little fucks who were standing there, because I don't care if you were just standing there looking like you were filleting a burrito like Marshall Wood of West Virginia was.
Yeah. Yeah.
He captioned his photo, "Picnic at the Capitol with friends," and he's sitting. He's got that burrito. He's got two hands wrapped around it, and he's going in for the whatever. And he's guilty too.
He was doing a Marcus Bachman on that burrito, if you remember.
Oh my
God!
Yeah, that yes, exactly. But the thing is, every human being there contributed to the quantum of human force that enabled and emboldened the assholes who went in to go in.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean, I understand not the political motivations, but I understand how you can get swept along by the crowd. I do, because, hell, I was at Mountaineer Field back in the 80s, the first when we beat Penn State and Pitt for the first time at home in ages. And we stormed the field. You know, you dropped down off the and you went and just went running around on the field, just and people were climbing up the goalposts, and I didn't tear down the goalposts, but I contributed to that quantum of energy.
But that's two different things.
Well,
that's,
it is. I mean, it was two different things. One was a joyful celebration. The other was an attempt to murder people.
Yeah, I dare say, and I wasn't there at the football game, but I dare say nobody got shot in the face.
No, nobody got bludgeoned to death with a fire extinguisher.
Yeah, you know. I just sometimes, I will be, and it's not like January 20th, a magic switch will be thrown and all will be well. It'll be the beginning of working our way through this if we have sense enough to do it. And then to add insult to injury, and I saw him on my own television set, Bob, on the news. They're talking about healing and unity. We need healing and unity.
Yeah, but you understand their healing and unity means please don't hold us personally responsible for our personal actions.
Well, that's why I bring it up. Healing, and I, as a child, watching TV on the old black and white set, with too close and burning my eyes out, I saw enough Bactine commercials. I don't even know if they even make Bactine anymore. It was a spray or a cream that you would put on a scrape or a scratch or a burn. If you had a decent mom, she would go to the store and get you some Bactine.
Yeah, I begged for Bactine, as an aside. I begged for Bactine. You know what I got? I got Mercurochrome.
Yeah, well,
But at least Mercurochrome didn't hurt. What was really awful was the methylate. Same color.
Yeah.
Burned like fuck. But my neighbor's mom, when we got scraped down there, it was just a little pss, pss with the Bactine, and it didn't hurt, and it was clean, and everything was good.
Yeah.
Why can't I have Bactine? This works better.
But getting to my point, I saw enough Bactine commercials and Curad commercials, the Ultralis bandage. Boy, it's product placement day here at the home.
Old product placement day.
I saw enough of those commercials that in order to treat a scrape or a scratch or a wound, okay, first you have to cleanse it. You have to wash it with soap and water gently. And then you have to pat it dry. And then you have to put the ointment or the unguent or the spray, the Bactine or whatever. And then you carefully place a clean bandage. And then if you have a good mom, she kisses it and makes it all well. That's the elegant touch. That's a little strawberry.
Well, that's what makes it. That's what makes it a healing.
In order to have.
But you got to. I get your point. You got to clean the wound first. Yeah. And ironically, since it is product placement day, you mentioned the word unguent. Well, there was something called unguentine.
Oh, that's why I said it.
It was for treating, I think, like sunburns and stuff, and it came in a little tiny, its packaging was a little bottle that was made to look like a fire extinguisher.
Yes, to heal the burn, use unguentine. Ask for it by name.
But honest to God, though, you're right. You got to clean it, and you got to get all the filth out of it before there's any reasonable likelihood of it healing.
And as far as unity goes, just to get to the other side of the whining, these maggots.
I'm sorry, just like the frustration.
Well, I'm telling you,
sounds like Beaker from the Muppets. You know, right before. Right before the professor is getting ready to electrocute him.
If I didn't need the furniture to stand up correctly, I'd be gnawing on the legs of the sofa or that table over there. I'm telling you, I am just so over this horseshit.
I can't stand it. Unity. Unity. You can't get these fuckers to agree and to join forces on a lunch order or what to put on the fucking pizza.
Right.
I did, and then you send out the unity and healing. They want unity and healing. You bastards. You fuckers. You bastard fuckers. I'm just so over these fuckers. I just cannot stand it. I'm going to start talking in tongues here in a minute.
That or Yosemite Sam and Flagstag and Knot, Pole, Frazzleack and Blue Martin.
So I just wanted to chime in. That John, what's his name, struck a nerve, and so did a little kooky.
Jeremy says Scott gets a cowbell for his rage mixed with sound effects. By the way, Darlene has a message for you.
Ooh.
Please tell Scott, don't make it sound like that. Please tell Scott that I'm supremely happy he received his relief check, and to paraphrase a famous line in a famous movie, chose wisely. Love, Harrison Ford. Okay, getting off track now. With how he spent it to keep himself connected with the World Wide Web and how he put it right back into the economy. Again, how stupidly short-sighted Republicans are with nickel and diming us on such things. But could you ask him if he's willing to share, did you get an actual check that you had to physically deposit, or was it direct deposited? And thank you and thank him kindly.
Oh, hell no. I live in the modern age out here in California. It was direct deposited, I believe, on the 4th of January. I was surprised to see it so soon because I get my Social Security direct deposited. And I, you know, if my other computer hadn't died, I probably would have, you know, gone out and bought something else or sent more money to the horn. Which, by the way, because this program provides this forum, put me down for another $10.
Well, bless your heart. You're the first in 2 hours after we got started at the top of the program. So, $190. Yay! Thank you. This is
I've said this before. This is the most valuable outlet and means of spending one's time that I can think of. I know there are other people doing good talk radio and good talk television and informing us. But because you're an independent, okay, there's a special something about this show that it is driven by the love and the concern and the interest and the smarts of people, not unlike myself and not unlike yourself, who value truth telling and good intelligent conversation. And I don't always bring my A game, you know? But more often than not, I can make a cogent point or two.
Well, see, here's the secret.
I don't know how I lived before I found this show. And it was only because you filled in one night for Malloy and gave yourself a plug that I even found this little outpost of reality. And I'm glad I was listening that night, to tell you the God's honest truth.
Oh, that warms my heart, Scott. It really, really does. And the trick to all of this is that you really can't delve deep into what's really on people's minds until you spend time in conversation. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got to get past the hi and the how are yous before you get to the really good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody who's, we were talking about black walnuts the other day, anybody who's ever tried to shell black walnuts knows that nothing happens, you know, that stinky green outer layer, and then you gotta just practically dynamite the shell. But oh, those little pieces of black walnut that you pick out with the little Nazi dental instruments.
Yeah.
They're heavenly. They're heavenly.
Yeah. But they're work.
And you don't, but you don't, but you don't get, you don't get to the
good stuff.
Yeah, and without you know, taking the letting the conversation flow and see where it's going to take you.
Well, and the magnificent key to this this little radio outpost is you get a lot of calls, and we do the front porch and the side porch afterwards and all. But there's not a topic or a being real that we do on this show. I mean, it is a safe place to be who you are. And I would like to think that part of your moving forward into your identity, I don't even know your transformation.
Or transition. Word, the word, yeah, transition.
I couldn't think of the word. I would like to think that we helped create a safe space, and you proved it by coming out to us and sharing the good news with us.
That's absolutely true.
It's a two-way street. You create that space for the callers and the listeners and emailers even, you know. And if we err in our theology or whatever, you'll remind us, you know, which is good and proper, because we're subjected to the media. We pick up on errant information from time to time. And I'm glad that there are those who care enough about my knowledge base to correct me when I misspoke about something. You know, I'm, and it's not just the $600. I'm feeling genuinely happy. I know January 20th won't be magic, and Joe won't come riding in on a fucking unicorn or a sparkle fart pony or anything. And I don't blame him for not doing it. This is a serious fucking matter that he's engaging himself in. But recent days, even though I think back to what happened a week ago Wednesday, I know that in not too many days, we're going to be turning a page and getting up off the ground and brushing ourselves off as a nation and as people. And begin to do things positively and appropriately in the hopes of creating a country and a future that works, you know, positively and appropriately for all concerned. These have been four of the longest years. These years are longer than my fucking high school experience. And you know how time hangs heavy on your hands in puberty and in high school. Jesus Christ, that's the hardest time of life for a lot of us, especially those of us who don't exactly fit in, if you know what I mean. You know?
Yeah. Round pegs, square holes, et cetera.
I don't want the yearbook. I don't want the ring for these past 4 years. Give them to somebody else. I don't want a cap. I don't want a crown.
Have you been visited by a representative from Jostens?
You bopped out there. I missed what you said.
Have you been visited by a representative from Jostens? You know, the class ring company?
Yes. No, I'm just saying that, these past 4 years have been like 8 or 16 or 24 goddamn years. And you know, I'm ready to matriculate. Is that the word?
Yes.
I'm ready. And some of us didn't make it, Bob. There's an in memoriam page on our collective yearbook for these past 4 years.
Yeah, with 400,000 names on it, plus.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember my junior year in high school was my very first year in public school. It was a George Washington High School in Alexandria, Virginia, junior year. And a young man of color named Robin Gibson got his own in memoriam page. Brilliant young man at a convenience store not far from the school. Was accosted by the clerk, the white clerk at the 7-Eleven, who accused Robin Gibson of stealing, whereupon he felt perfectly free to stab him until he was no longer alive.
God Almighty.
Yes. So, yeah, we have a lot of names and little photographs of people who didn't survive this high school, these 4 years. And God bless all of us who did, and we'll take up the slack for those who didn't make it.
Well, you know, you were talking about the program, Scott, and the fact of the matter is, we really are ahead of the curve a lot of the time. I've been talking about this for years, and particularly in the last week. Well, Agence France-Presse had a story today, and they write, far-right and white supremacist extremists are actively recruiting in the U.S. military and have gained more support over the past year, the Defense Department said Thursday.
Yep.
A senior defense official who declined to be named told reporters that there was an increase in far-right activity among the military over the past year, though he noted that it paralleled similar growth in society at large. Well, I don't find those two to be incongruent. We know that some groups actively attempt to recruit our personnel into their cause or actually encourage their members to join the military for the purpose of acquiring skills and experience in our military force. We recognize that those skills are prized by some of these groups, not only for the capability it offers them, but it also brings legitimacy in their mind to their cause. And then this line. The military has been aware of the problem for some time. And there were members of the United States military in that assault on the Capitol last week.
You bet your sweet ass there were.
One of them, a captain. A captain in the Army. In PSYOPs, okay, who organized 100 people to join her in the assault. Holy shit, you know?
And what can our Defense Department do? I mean, people do, even if they're misguided and stupid about it, they do have a right to believe what they wish to believe.
True. I mean...
But if you
believe in the violent overthrow of the United States government, you do not have the right to act upon it. You can believe it till hell freezes over. People believe all kinds of bizarre shit. You know, like spaceships that are hiding behind comets, and you have to buy a special pair of tennis shoes and then commit suicide to get your ticket punched.
Yeah, and carry $5 worth of change into the great beyond.
In pennies. Yes.
But what I'm saying is, what kind of safeguards does our Defense Department have? I mean, they've had none these past 4 years, obviously.
Well, and the Agence France-Presse story has the answer for you. We in the Department of Defense are doing everything we can to eliminate extremism. DOD policy expressly prohibits military personnel from actively advocating supremacist, extremist, or criminal gang doctrine, ideology, or causes. So, in other words, all they got to do is keep their mouth shut. And then they quietly, you know, hey, buddy, you want a beer? Yeah, you want a joint? Hey, I'm an oath keeper. Are you an oath keeper? You swore an oath, didn't you? Well, don't you want to keep your oath?
Yeah, but when I've never been in the military, but don't you swear an oath when you go into the service?
Yes.
And isn't that a supreme oath that takes precedence over any other thought, word, or deed you might have?
Yep.
Well, somebody needs to ride fucking herd on this deal, because several years ago, one of the service academies, I believe it was the Air Force Academy, had some crazy right-wing religious nut bucket high up in the echelon there.
Oh, still do,
running,
I'm sure.
The place, you know, up in the air, junior birdman, you know, practicing for the rapture or something, and... Well, I'll tell you what, Robin. I have sufficiently vented my spleen for this Thursday. I think what I'll do is go on my merry way, listen attentively to the remainder of the program, and let somebody else chime in. As much fun as I've had.
Well, I wanted to share. I did want to share a couple of things with you.
Okay.
One of which is Jeremy doubled your contribution, so that gets us down to 170, which is awesome. And John jumped in and made it 160. So thank you to John and thank you to Jeremy. And Lee in New York had, you made reference to 1776. Lee in New York had an interesting observation. These communist fighting morons do not know history. They do not even know that the goal in 1776 was independence. It was not murdering the British Parliament.
Bingo. Jesus, that's good.
Yeah, that is. That's high quality stuff.
Remember that. I'm going to add that to my list of talking points if I ever encounter any of these idiots. God damn, that's precise and right on.
Although there was some tar and feathering going on from time to time against officials of the crown. You know, Benjamin Franklin's his son decided to remain loyal to the crown as he was governor of New Jersey. And Benjamin Franklin never spoke to him again. So how about that?
Yeah, well, I just... Lee is right. They don't know history. I wish I'd have paid more attention in my various history classes over the years, but I picked up things here and there. And I said earlier, kind of half-joking, that if we could pack them into the DeLorean and take them back to Independence Hall, that they'd be laughed out of the room by the founders. They wouldn't necessarily, it wouldn't all be laughs. Because when you're starting a nation, it's a serious business. You know?
Yes.
And it wasn't all powdered wigs and breeches and quill pens. There was some serious nation creating going on. And it was a worthy enterprise, despite what social issues were happening then and still occur today. You know, it's like that old thing that my high school friend used to tell me, Sharon, before our Bible study. We used to have Bible study before class, and I led the Bible study. Can you imagine that? Can you count on both hands and your toes the number of people in hell on account of my running the Bible study?
I was thinking exactly that. Wait a minute. You went to Bible study with Scott. Oh, you thought you were coming in? Bye now. Bye-bye.
But the thing that she used to say is, as you go through life, no matter what your goal, keep your eye on the donut and not on the hole. And these fuckers, in their special twisted way, had been hole fixated. They're not at all interested in glorifying...
Oh, hell, they think the hole in the donut's a telescope into the future.
Well, but you get my point, that the hole gets you nothing. It's the donut that needs the sprinkles. And sprinkles aren't meant to be nasty. They're meant to enhance the enjoyment of the fucking donut. And you don't need rifles and crossbows and gallows to do the
A crossbow?
Citizens. Yeah, well, and it's funny you mentioned a crossbow. Before the show,
brass knuckles?
The Michael Caine, Christopher Reeve movie from the early 80s, Death Trap, and a crossbow figures pivotally in a pivotal role in the movie. I don't want to spoil it, so that's all I'll say about that. But a crossbow, Bob.
That's just right up there with a pledge pin.
It defies belief, the madness of these fools. We need to go back.
I may have a partial answer before you go. This is from Jack in Shreveport.
Okay, I'll take an answer.
Subject line, healing and unity. Healing and unity needs to include addressing police violence against people of color, addressing poverty, health care, bringing people of color and working people of all stripes into decision-making processes and other things. Healing and unity should not simply be standing back and letting whining deplorables have exactly their way while they once again simply ignore what people of color, homeless people, brown-skinned children at the border have been put through. And it's not letting the rich abuse 90% of us while stealing more and more of our commons and natural resources.
Yes.
Oh, and by the way, at the beginning of the program, I had the question from Matt in San Francisco about, are we archiving the shit that's in the building before they steal it? Well, it turns out, they're actually, they've caught people trying to slip off with stuff from the White House.
Now, by stuff, do you mean like important documents?
Yeah, like valuables.
Records?
Valuables. A bust, that kind of thing.
Yeah, now this is not the fucking Trump Hotel, people. Leave the towels where they are.
Oh, God. No, I don't care. No, burn the towels. Seriously. Seriously. Burn the towels. Jeremy says, freedom of speech. We all have freedom of speech, but in doing so, we all have the right to incur consequences for our words. Ta-da! And freedom of speech only, you know, the First Amendment only applies to governmental suppression of free speech, not anything out in the free market economy. Sorry, all those little buzzwords have to come with, like, you know, sort of a grunting voice.
Yeah.
And, of course, yeah, Marjorie Taylor Cucumber is going to introduce a bill of impeachment less than 24 hours after he takes office. Well, you know, you go, Cucumber.
Hunter Biden,
the Benghazi of our time.
Wait, is that where she's going?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our mind.
Yeah, there you go. Jesus Christ. Yeah, she's a winner, Ms. Green. I got to go before I start really chewing on this furniture.
Don't do that. You can't afford it.
Robin, for being who you are, and how you are, and for having the good sense to conduct us 5 days a week in this continuing conversation.
Well, I don't know how much good sense has to do with anything, but, you know, at least we manage a little.
Well, it's just important.
There it is. Yeah, Abraham Lincoln's bust. Ralph's just said, yeah. They're trying to cart off a bust of Abraham Lincoln.
Jesus. God damn. And I hope Trump does stiff Rudy on the legal fees.
Oh, I do too. And it might have something to do with another delightful story that I ran across this evening.
I didn't mean to throw that in there, but it's just a parting shot as I'm
the poor pumpkin, and I refer to him as a poor pumpkin. Not because I feel sympathy for him, but because, you know, he's got a head like one. The poor pumpkin is having a hard time finding any lawyers who want to represent him in the impeachment trial. And you know what might dissuade someone from representing him in his impeachment trial? When the news breaks that he's ordered his folks to stiff Rudy Giuliani out of the $20,000 a day. Out of the $20,000 a day, Rudy bragged that he was going to get. Bloomberg had the story and said, allies of the outgoing president have been canvassing Washington's legal landscape looking for representation, but so far are coming up short. Lawyers who defended him in the previous impeachment trial, including Jay Succinow and White House counsel Pat Cipollone, have said no this time, according to people familiar with the matter. Yeah, the checks don't clear no more. Keith Whittington is a politics professor at Princeton University. Interviewed by Bloomberg, he said, not terribly surprised that top-tier conservative attorneys who a Republican president might normally turn to would not be interested in jumping on this particular grenade. Those who might have been sympathetic to defending the president in other contexts, such as his first impeachment, don't necessarily want to defend what he's done here, both because they aren't easy to defend, and they'll tarnish people's professional reputation down the road. Because that's the other thing that's happening. Young, and yet not so young, members of the Maggot administration are going out into the job world going, "Hey, can I have a job? I don't have a job now." "Oh, yeah, where'd you work?" "Oh, I worked for Donald Trump." "Oh, sorry. You know, we're going to go in a different direction. We'll certainly keep your resume on file." Throw that thing the fuck away and then burn it at midnight. Right?
Kids, see that box of urinal pucks over there? Let's see how quick you can.
Oh, well, I dare say this is probably the only program in America that's mentioned urinal pucks this evening.
Hey, what can I tell you? All right. Best of everything to you and the family and to the greater Horn family out there. I love every one of you. You know that. And we're days away, hopefully, from a new beginning. And I send nothing but good wishes to the people who are doing the decent work of keeping us as safe as we can possibly be kept, because we are living in very, very strange, dangerous times.
That we are. That we are. Scott, take care. Enjoy the enjoy your new computer box, and we'll have a front porch tomorrow.
We sure will, Bob or Robin. Take care.
All right. See you now. Bye.
See ya.
And I'm heading over to the stress line in just a moment, but Matt writes in and says, subject line, collective trauma. As an empath and a person who was raised in the shadow of mental illness, as I've referenced before, the last few years have been traumatizing and, quite frankly, triggering. Fortunately, I've had a great bit of counseling and can recognize triggers, responses, and the dysfunctional patterns that were laid down in my formative years. So I've been able to apply self-care strategies and ensure that sometimes just making it through the day, month, year is a victory. I do wonder how many others have experienced similar things but have not had effective therapy and are white-knuckling it through a collective abusive relationship. Then add to that the necessary isolation required to live through the pandemic. I'm concerned that as a collective, we're going to need some type of healing on the whole. I don't know what that looks like, Matt says, but I can't help but think we're in for a steep climb to get back to functional. It may be so steep it's vertical. We may not be able to do this without, you know, suction cups and pitons, because we're in trouble. And it doesn't go away just because Joe Biden becomes president on the 20th. I've talked at length about the need to, the need to focus on the work of a generation, not just a term or two terms or three, but a generation's worth of work to repair what has been damaged and or destroyed. It was a month or more ago that it dawned on me that the healthcare workers alone in this country are going to need probably years of therapy just from the pandemic. And we don't have the mental health capacity to address that. And then we can add in this little ray of sunshine. This just, and I don't know why it gave me the horrors, but it was just depressing to read, and I'm sorry, but we'll share it together, and maybe it won't be so bad. Stefan Bancel, who's the CEO of Moderna, gave an interview yesterday. And what he said was, and this is the direct quote, SARS-CoV-2 is not going away. We are going to live with this virus, we think, forever. And forever is a long damn time. Because I do have to be out and about, and I try to be so careful, because it's frightening. And I don't want to run the risk of hurting my family, or worse, or having something happen to me, or simply being a, you know, a spreader generally. So I am hypervigilant. But I catch myself saying, well, you know, maybe in a year. And I start thinking about how nice it would be not to have to go around with a mask on all the time. They're not that particularly a pain in the ass, but it just becomes a fucking chore. And every time I turn around and stomp back to the car because I forgot it, I feel like some sort of fucking idiot. But I put it on, and, you know, I found two cans of spray. I've become very fond of the spray hand sanitizer because I just like its action. It's just basically alcohol in a spray can. And I like it better than the squirt goo. But what he's talking about is that the thinking among public health officials and people who are expert in infectious disease process, and they all seem to be of the same opinion that COVID-19 is going to become an endemic disease. That means, behold, ye have it always with ye. If you know your history of ancient history in the Middle Ages, what you know that, for instance, the Black Plague went all over Asia and Europe in the 14th century, but then pockets of it would just flare up. Because for a time it was endemic. And so what this guy is saying is we're never going to see the day when we just don't have to worry about it anymore. It's not going to be polio. We're not going to eliminate it. And the problem is, the longer that it takes for us to get everybody vaccinated is the longer it's going to take to find out how good the vaccine is. And you're going to have entire branches of pharmaceutical outfits working hand over fist, sorting out where the next variant is and how to tweak the vaccine, and then you go through the whole process again of trying to get the damn thing into arms. And we are failing miserably everywhere, not just the maggot states, at getting vaccines in arms. And that doesn't bode well. And so it's always going to be here. Probably for the rest of the natural lives of just of everybody within the reach of my voice and those who aren't. And the damn thing's mutating. Researchers in Ohio yesterday said they found two new variants that have likely originated in the United States. And one of those two variants has become the dominant strain in Columbus, Ohio, and it only took 3 weeks in late December and early this month. And it's going to be this way. We haven't even been dealing with this in earnest for a year. And it's part of what is driving these wild-eyed idiots past distraction. But we got to deal with reality, and the collective trauma that comes from all of this, going back to Matt's email, I don't even know if we have the words to describe. And Matt talks about having self-care strategies. We need to figure out a way to provide that kind of information to as many human beings as we possibly can. So thank you for that, Matt. And, wow. Thank you to Herbert. We're only $20 away from being finished. No. We're only $40 away from being finished with the evening, fundraising-wise. Thank you so much, Herbert. That is tremendous. I can't thank you enough. Tom and Sunny San Rafael, Rudy's legal fees. That might be a good time for the ho, ho, ho clip. Yes, it I got to make that thing more easily accessible. I got to turn it into a button that I can just push. Earther, meanwhile, that shredding sound means your job application is being archived, my friend. You know, when the maggots apply for a job. Billable Rick awarded Scott another cowbell for, this is not the Trump Hotel, leave the towels where they are. No, burn the towels, believe you me, burn the towels. And Jeremy, subject line, masks. But Robin, when I wear a mask, I can't look people in the eyes when I speak to them, and God can't see my face to shine his love down on me. Oh, stop it. Stop. It just hurts too much right now, Jeremy. Oh, God. Lou says, even the USA would have been better off if it had had a national health service. Yeah, by the way, the phrase level up is the Tory phrase for developing Northern England, i.e. spending money to help upgrade Northern England and not seeming to spend everything on the London area. But leveling up is also video game stuff, because I'm not willing to credit Deanna Lorraine with knowing anything about the rejuvenation policy in Tory England. Thanks for that, Lou. Thieving White House maggots, Billable Rick says, do you know why things are disappearing from the White House? Because you can take the Burrow Billy out of Queens, but you can't take the Queens out of the Burrow Billy. Now, let's not be rough on the folks in Queens. But, yeah. And, you know, trash is trash is trash is trash. There's probably a little fun to be had out of this. Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner and her Merkin or whatever, Jared. Well, there's this really swanky private club that's near a $30 million piece of ground that Jared and Iwanka bought in a place called Indian Creek, Florida. And it's the kind of swanky joint that Jared and Iwanka would love to be part of. But somebody there at the club, the Indian Creek Country Club, said you have to be nominated to be a member and make a formal application, but it only takes one member to object against any new member, and many members are objecting, particularly after the events at the Capitol on January 6th. Jared and Iwanka can lunch with their fellow patriots at Mar-a-Lago. Ew. Saucer of milk for table two. Because remember, Precious Princess Iwanka Madaddy Trump Kushner praised the people assaulting the Capitol as American patriots. Right. Of course, then she deleted the tweet, because of course she did. Oh, Iwanka, everybody sees your tweets. But being told to go lunch with the patriots at Mar-a-Lago, because the members of the Indian Creek Country Club would not be caught dead at Mar-a-Lago. Oh, hell no. Oh, darling, please. Slumming Mar-a-Lago? Isn't there anything better to do in a pandemic? Sounds like Jeffrey. Yeah. So let's run over to the stress line and see who we've got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Robin, it's Gary.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
Yeah, okay. Well, I was listening earlier on the, I guess somebody said something about a article in a French newspaper?
No, Agence France-Presse. That's the French wire service.
Oh, okay. Yeah, an infiltration of, you know, law enforcement and military and all that sort of thing. I think we touched on that a little bit when I called in a couple days ago. And, you know, I don't know how widespread it is. It's probably more widespread than general population percentages, you know, because you have people recruiting, you know, and like he says, you go out and have a beer and say, oh, I'm an oath keeper. You know, you an oath keeper. Yeah. So they're active. They did get in there and actively recruit other folks, you know, or to find other folks within the organization, you know what I mean, and then form a bond with them and then you know, actively, you know, recruit, et cetera, and, you know, try to find their little niche in their unit or what have you. And what I'm worried about right now is that, you know, during the inauguration, they've got all these guard troops. And I read an article where it says, they armed them, okay, and they got ammo. I'm worried about one of them nut fucks opening up on the fucking grandstand, you know.
You're not the only one.
Or, worse yet, you know, now, I know D.C. has a protected military force.
Well, the National Guardsmen there have it has been confirmed that they're carrying live ammo.
Yeah, and they're armed. Yeah, they have, you know, armed with, you know, M16 rifles and ammo. But the DC area is protected by regular Army units. That's the 3rd Infantry Regiment. It's nicknamed the Old Guard. They were the first infantry. They were the original infantry full-time permanent Army infantry regiment designated by Congress, I don't know, sometime after the Revolutionary War, after they disbanded the Continental Army. And they argued for a number of years of whether or not, you know, we want to be a country of, you know, to have permanent military, permanent military. And I guess when they finally decided, well, they would, they authorized three infantry regiments: the 3rd, the 4th, and the 5th. The 5th is a unit I served in, 5th Infantry Regiment. So they go back to the original historic infantry regiments. Now, I don't know how many battalions are within the 3rd Infantry Regiment. In my regiment today, we only have one battalion. I was in the 1st battalion. Our 2nd battalion was recently decommissioned or deactivated or whatever the hell you want to call it. But there's a, you know, generally, you know, you could have like our regiment down to one battalion. I don't know how many battalions make up the 3rd Infantry Regiment's you know, how many, I know there's at least 2 battalions. Okay. And there's one battalion, which is your ceremonial guys. Those are the guys that do all the ceremonial stuff, you know, you know, main one is burials at Arlington Cemetery, you know, parade stuff, et cetera, stuff like that. And they're called their original nickname was the Old Guard regiment. You know, these are all the real spit shined and polished and those guys. But they're, you know, and the what is it? presidential salute battery and all that good, you know, they show up at the parades and the celebrations and
right.
What have you, you know. Right, the ceremonial, it's a ceremonial battalion. And then I know there's one other battalion there, you know, D.C. I don't know if there's any additional battalions in D.C. or whatever. I have no idea or clue what type of units are in those other battalions. But I'm probably pretty certain. I think there's still one combat battalion in the 3rd Infantry Regiment remaining. But I'm not entirely positive on that. But either way, there would be some hard equipment, you know, in the D.C. area, somewhere close in the D.C. area. I don't know what other, you know, I know there's some other military facilities. My fear is that you get a couple wackadoodles, you know, maybe roll up on the grandstand in a couple of Bradley fighting vehicles or, God forbid, Abrams M1A1 tanks. You know what I mean? And just start, you know, because these folks are nut fucks, as Mike would call them.
Yes.
You know, they're Christian fascist nut fucks. That's what I worry about.
Yeah. With a taste for murder.
You know? Oh yeah. Yeah. Oh no. Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, And the problem is, you know, they want, and we discussed this before, you know, we have been demonized, you know, throughout the years through propaganda, media, talk radio, et cetera, being the demons, on the planet, you know, and need to be killed. You know, I mean, you know, they haven't shied away from talking about this kind of stuff. You know, you played a couple of clips earlier, right?
Yeah.
They just caught a bit of one of them. Now, what type of program was that guy a guest on?
Oh, just some right-wing piece of shit internet program. They're all over the place, and it's all tax-free.
Internet. Okay. All right.
That maniac's been on, you know, what passes for right wing mainstream broadcasting too.
I mean, FBI, Secret Service, somebody should be picking this asshole up, no?
You would think, or at least having a little chat.
He's
advocating the violent overthrow of the, you know, the government of the United States, and he's not, and it's not, you know, sometime in the future. By God, he says it's war right now.
Yeah. But those are my worries. You know, you get a couple of guys, and I know within say a unit. You know, like a TOE unit where, you know, you're an infantry unit, but you've got all your equipment there, et cetera. So like my unit today, my battalion today is what's called a striker battalion. When I was with them in Vietnam, we were a mechanized infantry battalion. Today they're called a striker battalion. So we've got, I think, four companies. One is a striker company, which is equipped with striker vehicles. I think Bravo Company, I don't think they call it Bravo Company anymore, but Bravo Company is a company with, they're armed with Bradley fighting vehicles. I think Charlie Company, third company, it still is with the old M1113 armored personnel carriers. I'm not sure about Delta Company. But if you get a couple of people or a couple of squads of fucking nut fucks, you know what I mean, decide to jump and roll in their vehicle, you know, and they're in the immediate area there, in, you know, Washington, D.C. area, you know what I mean? I mean, you know, it's going to be hard to stop them, you know, from rolling through and, you know, opening up on the grandstand. That's my biggest fear, you know.
You, so you're worrying about somebody in the regular military or the National Guard in that case going sideways.
Or a chopper pilot or a fucking naval pilot. Shit, you got all kinds of you know, aircraft in that area, you know. You know, I mean, and you know, fucking bomb the grandstand. You know, that's my work, you know. And these, like I say, you know, these are some total, there's, you know, these people, these maggots, I mean, they're total nut fucks. The majority of them, you know, like people who showed up at the Capitol, you know, I mean, you know, they're just sickos, you know. They're looking for death and destruction, you know. So I mean, that's you know, I don't know what I hope somebody's thinking along these lines, because I think, you know, it's important to try to think like a fucking nut, you know what I mean, when you're dealing with nuts.
Yeah.
You know, you gotta stop thinking rationally at some point about their potential of what they might do. You know what I'm saying? I hope, I mean, I have a lot of confidence, you know, things are going to go smooth and all that. I just have these gut feelings on certain things. And this is one of them, you know what I mean? That,
For as much as Trump spends time fretting about ratings, well, he's guaranteed that Joe Biden's inauguration will have a shit ton better ratings than his did, because the whole country's going to be tuned in, because the whole country is as nervous as you are, Gary. I know I am.
Yeah. Well.
Because yeah, I don't trust these bloody minded maggots to have learned any kind of a lesson from last week, because we really didn't suppress them. A couple of them got their tender fifis hurt, you know, because they weren't allowed to fly. They called me a terrorist. Yeah, she called me a creature. Andy. But that's not exactly consequences.
Yeah, I'm not so worried about naval pilots or Air Force pilots, Marine pilots or whatever, you know, making a fucking bombing run, simply because of who those guys are. You know what I mean?
Yeah, those what you have to pass.
They don't get to, you don't become a Marine pilot or a naval pilot or an Air Force pilot, you know what I mean, without showing,
but what
showing and demonstrating and testing to levels that, I mean, demonstrate,
and there's
level of stability.
Right, there's periodic review to make sure you are. But what you're saying is resonating. Scott just wrote back in San Diego, military folks Breaking Bad, two words, Anwar Sadat. And that's so true. You know, he was on a reviewing stand, and the next thing you know, he's dead Anwar Sadat.
Yeah, well, that was a coup.
Yeah. Guess what a week from yesterday was? A coup.
Yeah, but that was a military coup. You know what I mean? We're not going to have a, you know, Scott, we're not going to have a military coup. You know, I'm looking for the lone nutfuck tank squad. You know what I mean? Tank crew.
Well, but if it's a loner, he's not really a loner because he will have been propelled along by a whole bunch of bullshit information and violence inciting rhetoric. So
well, yeah, but a tank crew guy, even the officer, okay, an officer heads a tank crew, all right, and usually there's 4 to 5 guys. I don't know what it is on an Abrams, but let's say you get a tank crew who happened to be a nutfuck Christian fascist. You know what I mean? Yeah. And they decide to batten up the hatches and roll, you know, and they want to roll on the inauguration. You know what I mean? That's not a military coup. Certainly they could do a lot of damage and kill a lot of folks, Biden included, in that chicken melee. But, you know, it's not a coup. You know, Kamala Harris won't be on the swearing in stand.
Will she not?
No, absolutely not. They never are.
No, that's true. She'll be separately sworn in.
Yeah. Beeps won't be on that stand.
And the Air Force is up to its eyeballs in religious nut jobs. And over in the chat room, they're talking about, some asshole with a drone.
Oh yeah.
You know, some asshole running a drone, but
yeah,
I think to use Matt in San Francisco's terminology, we're going to be white knuckling our way to Wednesday, and I got to roll out here, Gary. But it's good to talk to you.
Oh, long past Wednesday.
Yeah,
long past Wednesday.
But
you know
Wednesday,
I mean?
When Sunday to Wednesday is the immediate concern, and there and yeah. until these people have been driven back behind the fucking baseboards. We're not gonna have a day's peace because they don't intend to let us have one. Gary, you have yourself a good evening and continue to stay safe, please.
You too. And what'd you have left?
$40.
All right, I'll take care of it.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks a ton, man. Have a good evening.
All right. Okay.
Later. Our buddy Gary, labor man, calling from New Mexico. And I'm not kidding when I say stay safe, and it applies to everybody. Stay safe. Thanks to all of you who keep the program on the air. Thanks to our subscribers at Patreon and PayPal. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Some of you do 1, 2, or all 3. Thank you. Thanks to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time engaging in this program in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the brand new first run of Malloy is at headon.live. And, by the way, a quick way to check up on your stimulus payments, both the past one and the current one. Randy Radar advises us there are indications that if you missed the deadline for the May stimulus payment, you may be able, through a similar IRS portal, to collect on that, too. It's a little complicated. sa.www4.irs.gov/IRFOF-WMSP/notice. Let me see if that looks any different when I put it into a browser. Because there's just there's no way anybody actually could get that. It's the IRS website, sa.www4.irs.gov. And you have to click on this U.S. government system is for authorized use only. big old nasty warning. I don't know. But apparently you can check. Apparently you can check your stimulus status there. And again, thanks go out to John Fox in Australia, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Continue to heal, please, Ben, and I hope your pain subsides dramatically. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Stay safe. If you can stay home and do so as much of the time as you can. If you have to be out and about, please wash your hands, don't touch your face, wear your mask, use hand sanitizer liberally, wear gloves if you've got them. Maintain your social distance. Remember, we're up to 15 feet between people with masks, and you don't want to be anywhere near anybody that doesn't have one on. Or chin strappers or sub-nose COVIDiots. You don't want to be around them either, because they might as well not be wearing masks. And, of course, if somebody comes toward you saying, "No, no, you can't use our bathroom. We've only got six." Avoid that person like the plague, because she is. Later, y'all.